In John chapter 4, Jesus describes the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. Verses 23 and 24. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. Now for the next few minutes, stay tuned to Worship in Spirit and Truth with Pastor Jeff Scoggin.
As a child, I had the privilege, and it really was a privilege, to live in the Middle East. And I lived in Beirut, Lebanon at the time. And during the 3 years that we lived there, at the time, you could still drive around the Middle East. Now we can't even go across into the Bekaa Valley in Lebanon because of terrorists entrenched there, and you can't go through. But at the time, our family decided to do a trip down across through Lebanon into Syria and down into Jordan. And it was a, you know, I don't know, I remember how long it took us, 3-4 weeks maybe, just driving. We had this little blue Peugeot 504, and we loaded stuff in the trunk and on the roof, and you know, we looked like a real hillbilly caravan. And we took off, and we drove across into the Bekaa Valley, which is considered the breadbasket of the Middle East. It's just absolutely beautiful, the best cherries and apricots and fruit. I mean, we had a special Friday night tradition where we have fruit and popcorn. And everybody laughs at us because they say popcorn's for Saturday night, not Friday night. And that's an argument that I've had all my whole life. So don't start with me. Friday night is popcorn night and fruit. And the fruit was the big attraction because it was always just so incredible. It would be just piled high with the most delicious type of fruit. I'm off my topic. Okay. Anyway, that was the Bekaa Valley. So you go, it's not a very long drive. You can be there in a couple hours, and pretty soon you're into Syria. And we drove in into Damascus, and we got to see the street called Straight. And we then tootled our way on down through into Jordan and seeing all sorts of sights that, frankly, at the time, I didn't appreciate nearly as much as I should have. I didn't even think about, I was what, 12, 10, 10, 12, 10, 11, 12, somewhere in there. And for me, this was just a road trip. Yeah, you know, my parents, they told me it's about what was happening. Yeah, that's nice, you know. And so I didn't really appreciate as well as I should have, and I want to do it again, but I can't. But anyway, we drove down through Syria, and we drove into Jordan, and one of the places that we stopped was Mount Nebo. Who remembers what Mount Nebo was? Moses. That's where Moses was. God sent Moses to go and look out over the promised land because he wasn't going to be allowed to go, unfortunately, his own fault. And there he was going to die. And they have, like they have with all of these special spots in the Middle East, they've turned it into a shrine. And there's old Byzantine era church there, and there's these beautiful mosaics made out of these square stones. I brought some of them back. You probably can't do that today, but at the time they didn't care. But when you get there, it's not what you expect the promised land to look like. It's a wilderness. It's rocks and hills and scrub grass, and it's the overall tone of the country is the color of my jacket. Okay, there's very little green, and what green there is in the grass, it's very drab. And it just goes on for miles and miles with these rolling hills and rocks and nothingness out there. And so I stood up there trying to imagine what Moses saw, because that's not what the way it was back then. And so Moses would look across, and he could look across into Israel, and he could see the beautiful places, which was all like the Bekaa Valley at the time. When we walked into the little shrine there that was sitting there memorializing Moses, There was a little table kind of like this, and there were some papers on it written in English. And so my dad picked one up and he started to read it. And he said, "Hey guys," talking to me and my brother and my sister, brother and sister younger than me, and my mom. And he says, "It seems that they have discovered the Ark of the Covenant. It's here." And we all, of course, got excited. Now, I may not have been all that keyed into all the places I was, but the Ark of the Covenant, that was something, right? And so we're talking about the Ark of the Covenant, and we knew the story in the Bible, how when Uzzah touched the Ark, he keeled over and all these different things. And my dad asked us, "Would you touch it?" And then we start getting all theological, right? "Well, you know, God's presence is gone. It's just a box now." Yeah. "But what if we miss something in the Bible, you know?" And so we decided we probably wouldn't touch it. Anyway, the paper went on to describe that if you look down into the valley there, there were two trees. And between those trees was a cave. And inside that cave was the Ark of the Covenant. And so we all quickly left this shrine thing, and we're looking all around. I think it said east. I don't remember. Anyway, but so we're looking, but we looked in all the directions, and frankly, we couldn't find a single tree, much less two. We looked and we looked and we looked, and finally my dad went and got some binoculars out of the car, and we looked and we looked, and finally, way in the distance, there was a black dot that maybe could be two trees. And maybe there was a cave between them. And my dad, sensing an opportunity to entertain three children for a while, said, "You want to try? Want to go see?" We had come up the other side of the mountain, which had a road. The other side of the mountain had a something like a road. And remember, little Peugeot 504, I don't know if you've seen one of those, but think tiny little low to the ground street car. And here we go. We take off down the backside of the mountain very slowly because the rocks will be enough to rip out your transmission. And there's signs posted every 100 feet on both sides of the road. Do not get off the road. Landmines. We obeyed. We very slowly, painfully slowly, all four windows down because it's hot and there's no air conditioning in the car. And we're crawling down this road, I don't know, maybe an hour. And those two trees, if they were two trees, did not get any closer. We never decided if they were two trees because my dad finally decided the transmission wasn't worth entertaining the three children. And he said, "I think we've been had. Given that there is not two trees anywhere to be seen, and National Geographic and film crews are nowhere to be seen, I think we have been taken in by a hoax." And so we turned around. And we drove back to the mountain and then back down the other side on a real road. Everybody is searching for something. And do you know why? The reason that we're all searching for something is because we have a place in our heart that nothing and no one can fill except Jesus. In VBS this week, the kids have been digging. They literally, yes. They've been searching for artifacts and learning at the same time how we can dig in God's Word and unearth treasures there, and especially how we meet God there. When we dig like that, when we spend time in God's Word like that, we find God Himself. And spending that time with Him can develop into a friendship with him. However, the devil does not want us to be friends with Jesus. So, like my story of searching for the Ark of the Covenant, Satan creates false things for us to search for and to find. And they're all counterfeits. They're all hoaxes. His biggest counterfeit, his biggest hoax, is going to be like a scripture reading just this morning. When Jesus returns in the clouds of glory, Jesus himself described it in Matthew. If you didn't hear it the first time, listen to it the second time. Of the hoax, the counterfeit that Satan is going to create for us. Matthew 24, beginning in verse 23. At that time, and what time is that? Second coming of Jesus, right? Or thereabouts, around that time. That time, if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there he is, do not believe it. For, now get this, what this is what he's going to do. For false Christs and false prophets, read counterfeit, read hoax, okay? False Christs and false prophets will appear. And what will they be doing, it says? They will be performing great signs and miracles. Who does that? Only God, right? It's a pretty good hoax, pretty convincing. Great signs and miracles to deceive even the elect, if that were possible. In other words, they're going to be so good that any of us could be taken in. See, I have told you ahead of time, Jesus said. So, if anyone tells you, there he is, out in the desert, between two trees in a cave, do not go out. Or here he is in the inner rooms. Do not believe it. For, and now Jesus tells us how he's going to return. For as lightning comes out from the east and is visible even to the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. Jesus called Satan the father of lies. Father of lies. And in order to keep us away from Jesus, his life is consumed with getting us to buy into a hoax, a counterfeit. Near the time when Jesus will return to take us to heaven, according to these verses in Matthew, the hoax and the counterfeit will be Satan trying to convince us that Jesus has come back in some way other than what he said he would do. We are actually working our way through that scenario right now, week to week, in our Revelation series. So come next week and we'll pick that back up again. And we're going to see over the coming weeks what that's going to look like. Not in super fine detail, we can't do that, but at least in broad strokes, in general idea of what that's going to look like. But you know, we don't have to wait until then for his counterfeits and his hoaxes. Since day one, Satan has been deceiving. That's how we got to the place that we are now, right? That's what he does. That's what he is doing. And so he is deceiving people even still today. And we are chasing after his counterfeits and his hoaxes. Why? Because we're trying to fill that empty spot in our lives. Therefore, we are sitting ducks for the devil's deceptions. Think about what we're surrounded with. Most of the advertising that bombards us day to day is false advertising. If you buy this car, young man, you will be able to pick up a girl that looks like that. That's what the picture says, doesn't it? If you will drink this brand of beer, you will be surrounded by as many friends as that guy has. Come on, isn't that what's going on underneath? Sure it is. If you will just wear this brand of clothes, you will be as happy as the people in the picture. That's the message, but it's a lie. It's a lie, a counterfeit. It's a road full of boulders that will rip out your transmission and landmines that will eventually explode. But we fall for it. We fall for it so often because we have a place in our hearts that needs to be filled. And we don't realize that only Jesus can fill it. Either we don't know or we refuse to believe it, one or the other. Which makes us vulnerable to Satan's counterfeits. He says, here, watch this movie. It'll fill the empty spot. And you know, for a minute or for a few minutes, we think it does. But soon we feel empty again. So he hands us something else, and it's always, always false advertising. Jesus tells a story about a man who wanted more than anything to discover and own the biggest pearl in the world. And so he spent his life searching for it. And when he found it, you remember the story? It was more than he could afford. And so he sold everything that he owned in order to buy it. Everything that he owned. That's how valuable the pearl was. And in the story, the pearl represents Jesus himself. The most valuable thing in the universe. But unlike the pearl or an artifact of some kind that just sits there waiting for someone to find it, Jesus wants to be found. In fact, the Bible says that he's trying to find us too. He's trying to get our attention. I'm here. I'm not a counterfeit. I'm the real thing. Do you know why Jesus is interested in finding you? Do you know? It's because friendship works two ways. When only one person wants to be friends, there can be no friendship. Jesus wants to be friends with you. That's why he created you in the first place. But some people think, how can I be friends with somebody I can't even see? Well, think about this. You do it all the time. Any of you have friends, family, parents, children that live far away and you can't see them? Sure you do. Do you maintain a relationship with them? Sure you do. How do you do it? You write to them. Used to be on paper. People still like that. You know, text, that's fine. Nothing wrong with that. Email, whatever it might be, right? You read their letters too. You call them on the phone. You give them gifts, even if you have to mail it. That's fine. You give them gifts and so on. You know what? All of that works with Jesus too. All of that works with Jesus too. You can talk to him. And with practice, you can learn to hear him. You can read what he's written to you in his word. You can even give him gifts by giving to people who need it. He says that's his favorite kind. Treat that relationship at least as seriously as you treat any other long-distance relationship, and guaranteed, you can be friends with Jesus. It's all about the time you spend together. Nothing can substitute for time together. So my challenge to each one of us today is make the time. You'll have to make it because Satan is going to throw everything that he can into your path to ensure that you do not have the time to spend with Jesus. So you're going to have to fight him on this one. And you're going to have to create the time. Remember, he's throwing counterfeits. So resist them. And make the time to spend with Jesus. Use that time to dig into the Word of God, which is the best place to start searching for that pearl, that relationship with Jesus. As time goes by, you will begin to realize that that empty spot that you have felt in your heart for so long no longer feels empty because Jesus is filling it. Amen.
Thank you for joining Pastor Jeff Scoggins today for Worship in Spirit and Truth. We would love to hear your thoughts about the program, and your financial support is also greatly appreciated so that we can continue bringing you these kinds of programs. Tell your friends they can find the program Spirit and Truth right here on this station. Stay tuned for contact information and more details from your local station to follow. Until next time, keep your mind fixed on Jesus.